Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, this hour brought to you by Mazda of Everett. I got a question for you guys and I need your answers, so I want you to call in 206-421-3776. Look at that, I gave you the number for it before I even told you the question. That's stupid. Your question, though, is an easy one to answer. If Baker Mayfield becomes available, do you want the Seahawks to sign him? The answer is obviously yes. Am I wrong? The answer is obviously yes. Let's go to line three, though. Corey. Corey, if Baker Mayfield becomes available, do you want the Seahawks to sign him? Hey, Corey, do you want Baker Mayfield in Seattle?
No.
Why, Corey?
There's really no point. I mean, this year's kind of those years where it's kind of throw under the table. I mean, who knows? We maybe could do better than we expected, but I don't see us over 10 wins. And we need a good draft position so we can get a quarterback next year. I mean, I feel like the quarterbacks that are out there in the draft, Stroud, the other one, I can't think of his name.
Yeah. Corey, what I'm hearing is that you don't want Baker because you're like, he might be just good enough to get them out of top 10.
There's just no real reason. I mean, what's he going to get us 1 to 2 more wins? I mean, it's just kind of pointless if you ask me.
Okay. All right. I would love to see him here from an entertainment value standpoint for this 100%. Season. And
thanks for the call, Corey.
Thank you for the call. I would love to see him here from an entertainment value standpoint. I think it would be a better season. But, you know, I definitely understand that point of view of saying, look, I want a good draft pick. I want the highest draft pick possible. And if you're talking about, you know, the overvaluing 2022 versus the next 5 years potentially after that, I can get on board with that. I can understand it. But honestly, if Baker Mayfield is available and you have an organization that is preaching always compete,
yeah,
and we're looking for every opportunity, and you don't go for Baker Mayfield, that it would be a shock to me. Because it would go against everything that this organization preaches from a competition standpoint on the field and off the field.
If Baker Mayfield becomes available, do you want the Seahawks to sign him? Going to Kev in Bothell. Kev, do you want Baker Mayfield here in Seattle?
Hey, you know, you used to go to the bank and they would give you a toaster if you open up an account.
What?
So I think picking up Baker Mayfield, you would be like getting a toaster because he could do really cool commercials. But I don't think we need a toaster. I think we need to go after Nick Foles. I don't hear anybody talking about trading for Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP. Come on.
Kev, look, Kev, I can tell you right now, Curtis Rogers is not here, but if he were, he would say bear down and absolutely, yes, make a trade for Nick Foles, who unfortunately did sign with the Colts, so it would have to be a trade.
Yeah, but Kev, the reality is that Nick Foles was available as a free agent on the market, and the organization decided not to go after him.
And it would be the biggest mistake they've ever made.
So
if I wasn't bald, I would have pulled my hair out.
Well, Kev, we appreciate it. Also, since when did they used to give you a toaster?
Can I still get
when
a
you
toaster?
Went to the bank?
I need a new toaster.
Well, I'm 64 years old.
In
the 60s and 70s.
Wow, I mean, bring that back, please.
Well, yeah, hello. Kev, I'd be opening accounts all over the place.
Yeah, Kev, thank you so much.
I don't know why I'd want that many toasters.
I don't either.
It's a stupid thing to do. Why did I say that?
I mean, because they give them to you. That's why. It's just, would you pass up a free toaster?
I love a free thing.
Like, of course.
If there's a free item, I don't care if I don't need it. Do you know how many, like, branded coffee tumblers I have
yes.
in my home? A stupid amount.
Yes. And that is why when the Mariners, you know, do these giveaways, right? Just take my money. Like I will pay you money to get something free in return, and it's not free. But in my head, I'm thinking, cool, something free. Now, Kev, thank you for the call. I think that when you're talking about accomplished quarterbacks, you know, Nick Foles has been more accomplished than any of these guys. But I would argue that at this stage of his career, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to bring somebody in from the outside that has no experience with your system, with your scheme. And the only reason why I would argue for Geno Smith is that he's been here in Seattle for the last 4 years. So he is an older veteran. He would be a clear stopgap guy, but he's been here the last 4 years. So there's familiarity here, obviously, with this offense. But you want to give younger guys opportunities. Somebody like Drew Lock, somebody like Baker Mayfield, who are very much at the early part of their career still. And if they blossomed here, great. If not, it's okay because you feel like you're in position to draft your future quarterback regardless.
All right. Do you want Baker Mayfield in Seattle? I'm not talking via trade. I'm talking if he became available. Would you want him here as a Seahawk? Brock Heward put out a poll. It's a 50-50 split, almost 4,000 votes. Last time I checked, it was 52%. No. That's, 52% would not want Baker Mayfield here in Seattle. I could not disagree
that's
more.
Bananas.
However, I understand some of the points that you guys are making, so if you want to call in and sound off about it, 206-421-3776. Let's go to Casey in Bend, Oregon. Casey, you want Baker here?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, why?
And
why, Casey?
Well, I think that Baker, to me, he just seems like a good person, and he's got a good attitude. I think he'll play really hard, and he's a household name. I think he's somebody that we can root for. When I think about rooting for Geno Smith, or especially Geno Smith, but it just I don't see a huge upside. I think Baker's got a really big upside, and I just like who he is. I think he seems like a good guy that I'd like to root for. And happy birthday, Stacy, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks, Casey.
Thank you, Casey, for the call. Really appreciate it. Let me lay out one thing. When people try to sit here and advocate that Geno Smith and Drew Lock are better, I just want you to realize. Yes, I just want you to realize how silly you sound. Okay? I just want to drill this into your head because you sound ridiculous. Okay? Geno Smith has been in the league for, okay, let's see, we've got, eight years. He's 8 years in the league. His best year as a pro, he threw 13 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. That was when he was 24 years old. That was his second season in the league, okay? 13 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. That is his career best up to this point as a pro, okay? Drew Lock. Career best, 16 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. You're going back and trying to get somebody to play up to their young talent. He's 25. He's going to be 26. There's reasonable thoughts in regards to the Seahawks saying, look, he's still really young, and if we put him in a better position, we can get the most out of him, and we can get him to perform like he did the last six games of his rookie year, where he threw seven touchdowns and three interceptions, and in a limited sample size, he really showed his talent. You know, still very young in his career. Maybe mm-hmm. you can get that. Baker Mayfield, 4 years in the NFL, okay? 4 years in the NFL. He has thrown three out of those four seasons, he has thrown for over 20 touchdowns. Two of those seasons, 27 and 26 touchdowns. The other season, he threw 22. Last year, in an injury-ridden year, he tried to gut it up and play, which was a bad decision on his part. He threw 17 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. Do not try to argue with me that Geno Smith and Drew Lock are better than Baker Mayfield because it's flat silly.
If you want to argue
silly.
With Jake that that's the case, I would
absolutely
personally love
silly.
It. Frankly, for my own entertainment, I would love it. So feel free to call in 206-421-3776 and argue your case if that's how you feel. Again, Brock Heward put out a poll asking people if Baker Mayfield became available, would you want him here in Seattle? 52% of people say no.
That's a
no,
personality reason.
They do not want Baker Mayfield here in Seattle. I'm floored. I guess I'm thinking of it from like a season ticket holder point of view, of which I am not one, but I'm thinking like, do you know how expensive it is to take your family to a game?
Very.
Do you know how expensive it is to take your family to a game?
Well, I mean, so people that are paying tickets
minds.
For week
That's
one, the
saying.
Cheapest tickets, like $400, $500.
That's
right
what I'm
now.
Saying. So I'm of two minds about it. On the one hand, I'm kind of like a critical lens where I'm like the higher draft pick they get, the better because they have two firsts. Like, hello, that's exactly what you want. On the other hand, I'm thinking, if I'm a parent and I'm taking me, my spouse, my kids, whatever, to the game, and I'm spending a couple $100 on a trip, I don't want to watch a horrible team. I wouldn't mind being entertained. Let's see what someone like Baker Mayfield can do. I still think that even without Baker Mayfield, there's enough entertainment on this team and enough young players to be exciting, but I do think Baker adds some wins.
Yeah, you're on developmental watch, whereas Baker Mayfield comes onto this team, Stacey, legitimately, you can be a playoff team.
Yeah.
You could. I mean, if everything still has to go right and has to go in the right direction, but Baker Mayfield could play the role that Pete Carroll wants him to play, and he can do it at a reasonable level, right? He's not going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. He's not going to be a, you know, a superstar quarterback in this league, but he can absolutely be a quarterback that helps you win games. He can.
All right.
And so I just don't understand when people try to argue, you know, that Baker Mayfield wouldn't help this team out. That is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. If you don't like his personality, fine. That's one thing. If you want to tank and have a higher draft pick, fine. I get it. But please don't argue that Geno Smith and Drew Lock are better than Baker Mayfield.
All right, Sean in Centralia. I've been hanging on for a while here. Sean, line three, do you want Baker Mayfield in Seattle?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, do you Absolutely. Want Baker Mayfield in Seattle?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. People that think tanky in the NFL automatically is going to get you this great draft choice, and you're going to be able to build for the future every time as if there's not going to be potential serious injuries that put you back 2 or 3 years. There's all kinds of things in the NFL you can't, you know, build on and expect. I'm just saying that if this defense comes together and if the running game is excellent, there's a good chance, like Jake just said, that he gets you in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, we know anything can happen. I mean, it's been proven over and over.
Right.
But,
right.
Jake, can I tell you one thing?
Of course, Sean. When have you ever been afraid to tell me one thing? I've missed you, Sean. What's up, buddy?
Stop always stopping at the Centralia Malls, okay? And stop at the Chehalis Veterans Museum. That's right off the freeway. It's the best veterans museum. Your kids will love it, seeing the P-51 Mustang hanging from the ceiling. See the big flag off the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln and see glass case after glass case. Every war that we've been involved in and all the different stuff. Your kids will love the area where you can buy them the toys and stuff they need to add to their collection. You need to stop there instead of the mall.
All right, Sean. Okay.
Hey, Sean.
What an incredible pitch. How could I say no to that? You're absolutely right. We will do that next time. I promise we will go and do that. We will take a picture of it. Have to make a stop there. We will. I promise you. Promise you we will do that.
All right. We've got, let's see, Chris in Tacoma on line five. Chris, do you want Baker Mayfield here in Seattle?
Yes, I do.
Now, why?
Okay, so for the simple fact that our defense is looking all right. We're looking real good on defense. We got the line solidified with the two ends, the rookies. You got Lewis, you got Gabe Jackson, and I'm forgetting the center's name.
Austin Blythe.
That's a good old line, okay? You still have the running backs with Kenneth Walker. You put Baker Mayfield back there to throw to DK and Tyler? Come on. How are we not a playoff team?
Let's
All
go,
right,
Chris.
I like it, Chris. I like it. Now, this is the thing is that if you put Baker on this team, you actually have a legitimate chance to put yourself in that position. Now, Chris, everything has to go right, and I still have my skepticisms about how good the offensive line can gel in this year. It doesn't mean I don't believe that there is that possibility or the talent isn't there, but I am concerned about it. It is a new group, and it is a group that is trying to find their way still. And obviously defensive line wise, it's going to be really important that everyone steps up and plays a significant role on that defensive line. But you're right. If things come together and you can see a path how it would, they can be a playoff team. Now, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I do believe that they can be a playoff team and you can continue to keep building upon that, you know, moving forward. So I know there's other people on the other side that say, look, I don't care about the playoffs. I care about draft positioning. I understand, but also when you have an opportunity to land somebody like Baker Mayfield, you might be surprised at the result that you get, and maybe you do find somebody at 26, 27 years old where they're your starter on the relative cheap compared to the market, the going rate for quarterbacks in the NFL today, And you're able to build around that. I would not be surprised if that did happen.
All right. To Darlene and Nathan, I'm sorry we couldn't get to your guys' calls. I appreciate you calling in. Unfortunately, we have another caller here. We have to get to Abraham calling from Seattle, it looks like. Abraham Toro joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. We are not talking Baker Mayfield. We are talking Mariners, though. Abraham, how's it going?
It's been pretty good. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Congratulations, by the way. Your guys' win and extras, how exciting did that feel?
Oh, it feels good. You know, we're glad we have to win back-to-back series, and we were looking to win another one.
You know, Abraham, you mentioned winning back-to-back series and knowing that this is a long season and everything else. How good did that feel to be able to get that under your belt? You guys have not had back-to-back series wins really in you know, a significant chunk of time. How'd that feel for you guys in the clubhouse?
Oh, it feels good. It's all about adjusting. We all know that we start a little bit slow, but you know, we've been making some adjustment. I feel like the bat's been clicking a little more, and hopefully we can continue what we've been doing lately.
Your teammate, Julio Rodriguez, just won AL Rookie of the Month for May. Obviously, you were gone for a little bit of time recovering from injury, but you've seen so much of his development over the start of the season. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, man, he's been great. You know, you can tell, you know, it doesn't matter the type of day he has. He's always that confident. He plays 100%, and I feel like he's improving every day, and he hasn't shown yet what he can do, so he'll be pretty good for years to come.
You know, Abraham, how do you use an opportunity? I mean, I'm saying opportunity because I am an optimistic person, and that's kind of how I'm wired in terms of, you know, you might have a setback, but you can use it for good things. What did you do during the time off that you were recovering from your shoulder injury to, you know, kind of help you reset and get you back and ready to play?
It was more about the mindset, you know, trying to get your mind right. You have that time off, and it's like a new beginning, I would say. So trying to forget whatever that slow start that we've been having, that I've been having, and start from zero. That's what I've been focusing on.
Well, you certainly came back in your first game and made significant contribution, not only with that huge triple, but also with your play at third base, that play you made.
That,
you know,
deep throw
yesterday. Yeah, going to your backside and being able to snag it and make that awesome throw. How good does that feel? What type of play at third base is the best? Is it charging a ball and making a throw as you're moving forward, or is it play like kind of what you made yesterday?
I would say, yeah, that one. I mean, yes, you know, every time you go back on the line, you get further and further from first base, and, you know, being able to put a good throw on and, you know, throw it on the chest, it's been good.
Now, Abraham, you know, sometimes in baseball, you always want to stay cool, calm, and collected. There's not as much showboating as there is in, like, football with first downs and things like that, but when you deliver a strike like that to first base, does it make you, like, do you have to hold back from doing something, you know, like, you know, doing the finger guns or like the arrow, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, I mean, you just got to be you, be yourself. You know, I'm somebody that's more calm, more, you know, try to stay the same no matter what. But, I mean, if some guys, you know, they want to showboat, like you said, I mean, just go for it. Just be who you are.
You seem like a very calm guy. What's the most fired up you've ever been in a game?
I have to say, like, last year when I hit the grand slam, I was pretty fired up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
That was the most emotion I think I have.
Now, you got an RBI a triple yesterday to essentially get this team the win. Did you get a Gatorade shower? Did they throw Gatorade on you, or did you avoid that?
No, I did not have Gatorade. If he was at home, a walkover, then probably would.
Yeah,
that would have
happened. Just for the RBI, they're like, I don't know. I mean, triple.
Yeah,
it's so close.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Everybody
was probably like, look, this game took way too long.
They're like,
tired. You guys have to get on a plane. What time did you guys land this morning? And were you guys able to sleep in a little bit?
I mean, I think we landed like 3:30 in the morning. We slept in, and then we're back on the tour, ready to go.
Man, how crazy is that? I mean, you know, for every other sport, you know, NBA a little bit is that way, but how crazy is it to have to? I mean, the time change is real. you guys having to make these trips and adjust. You know, have you been able to develop a process and feel good about it? Or is it just sometimes it's just like, man, you might not be, you know, 100% that day with you know, how you were able to get rested, but you got to show up and figure it out.
Well, I think it's all about a mindset, you know. Everybody's tired, like you said, long flight, we got in early, but mm-hmm. but this team, you know, we wanna win, you know, I feel like we're on a good roll, and when you got that mindset you forget about how tired and how your body feels.
Now, Abraham, Jake and I have a little bit of a bet for tonight, where there's gonna be, I say that there's gonna be a grand slam hit. You mentioned the most fired up you've ever been in a game is after hitting that grand slam, which we all saw, and that was an exciting moment. I don't want you to promise me, but do you feel good about maybe a grand slam tonight? Like, it doesn't have to be from you, but I'm feeling the vibe. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. Hopefully that does happen if you hit a grand slam. I mean, if I hit a grand slam, I might need to call you guys every day.
Yeah, if you could do me a solid.
Exactly.
Just a very small favor.
If you hit a grand slam tonight, we will open the phone line for you every single day.
We'll just have an
open spot where we just, you know, hang back, kick it.
Here's
you tell
Abraham,
us what,
here to
you
talk about
tell us what's
grand
on your
Abraham.
Mind that day, and we'll talk about it.
I'll be glad to do that if that happens.
All right, Abraham, good luck in this series. You guys got this one and one more before coming back to Seattle, where fans will be very glad to see you all back here at T-Mobile. Good luck tonight.
All right, thank you.
All right, Abraham.
I would love for Abraham Toro to hit that grand slam. I'd be like, you know what, we'll give you 10 minutes to just call in and brag about it.
That'd be awesome.
If you called a grand slam, what's the coolest play you've ever seen anyone call?
That anyone called beforehand?
Yeah, like a guy comes out and he's like, touchdown. God, there's so many moments. If you can think of one, please text it to me. I know that there are moments from last year.
The only thing that I've seen that was actually pretty cool
like
is
a
when,
guy calls
when Tony Romo first went into the booth, and this is like he was first removed from football, and so he's studying a lot of film and everything else. And he was calling plays before they were happening. He tries to do it now, and he doesn't do it as successfully, not even close to as successful. But when he was doing that, I think that's pretty awesome. The 253, this is pretty good. Mike Blowers will do this a lot. He will
call
something. He will call either a home run or a strikeout or, hey, you know, Mariners really could use a double play here. Like, he is willing it to happen, and sometimes it does. And Aaron Goldsmith's reaction is always really hilarious. But I think that's pretty funny.
Someone said, didn't Russ call the touchdown to Curse against the Packers? Did he in the NFC?
Well, he didn't call it. He didn't
no,
say,
not
like,
calling,
this,
but, like,
this is
it
going
right
to happen.
Okay.
He said, look, I mean, it kind of.
Before the series,
he said, hey, if they do this, right, like we talked about in practice, if they do this, be prepared for it because I'm going to go to it. So in a way, he was very much prepared for it and had a feeling that it was going to happen. So I guess you could say that was a call, but he wasn't saying like, it's going to happen this drive. This is going to happen this drive. It was more of like, if it does, be ready for it.
Oh, God. Matt Hasselbeck coin toss for Green Bay. Let's not revisit
that. Let's see.
From the 360.
That's when trying to call it goes wrong.
I know. From the 360, good job making him not want to hit a grand slam. Yeah, that's a good point. And from the 425, just for bringing it up, you owe donuts. Yes, correct. That is all correct. I'm very sorry. All right. So we're going to wrap things up with what I need to know coming up at 45 after. And we're going to take a quick look at this upcoming series against Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
This hour of Jake and Stacy brought to you by Mazda of Everett. I want to look ahead to this series against the Rangers, but before I do, quickly, I asked you, Jake, whether you could recall any moment where I was thinking an athlete kind of called something, where he, you know, you point to the upper decks, you point to the end zone, you do whatever you're calling something. And you mentioned Romo as just a broadcaster being able to call great moments, and so many people sent in this one.
Now the left-handers, 3-1 pitch on the way. Swung on and belted in the left field. He just missed the second deck. Fly away. I don't believe it. I see the light. a little bit.
That's Blowers calling Tuiasa Sopo's first home run, and he does it like I think in a separate inning, but it's at top of the fifth, no outs. And he goes like, oh, on a 3-1 count. He's going to get a home run, going to go up at left field into the second deck. And everything happens with the exception of it being to the second deck. But everything else is right. He's like, yeah, he's going to get a fastball. And it's a great call.
Absolutely crazy. One, absolutely good, crazy. Legendary moment. And obviously, you know, Dave Niehaus is, I mean, gosh, miss that man so much.
All right, so let's look ahead at this series between the Mariners and Rangers. That begins tonight. Logan Gilbert getting the start against Dane Dunning, 5:05 p.m. first pitch, 4 p.m. pregame show right here on Seattle Sports Station. Three-game series. You're going to have three different times, by the way. 1:05 first pitch tomorrow and then 11:35 on Sunday with Gonzalez and Kirby, respectfully, on either of those days. This is a series Seattle needs to win.
Yes.
A series they need to win. I know that it's June. I know it's early June, but Seattle needs to stack those series wins. They finally got two back-to-back with a series win against Houston, followed by a series win against Baltimore. I know it's hard to get three series in a row. I know that that's asking for a lot, but guess what? You dug a hole, and you got to dig yourself out of it.
Yes, you do. You absolutely do, and it's not going to be easy, right? I mean, that's the reality of this situation for the Mariners right now, and luckily, at this point in time, they're getting a little bit of help. Right, they are getting a little bit of help from the Angels, who have really gone on a major losing streak at the current moment, and so that has, you know, made the overall race a little bit tighter. I mean, if you look at the Mariners right now, believe it or not, they're only 4.5 games back of the wild card spot. Now, it's very early on, and there's a lot of good teams ahead of them that I expect will continue to win, and once they get their footing, they're going to take off, but you know, the Mariners have to capitalize on this month of June. The month of June, schedule-wise, is a lot lighter than it was in the month of May. And so when you have opportunities, and so far they've had back-to-back series wins, that's great, Stacey. They have to be able to capitalize on this opportunity that they have against the Rangers and be able to go with three straight series wins, because after that you play Houston, then you play the Twins, and you play the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And those three series are going to be very tough. I know you've had success against Houston, but you can't bank on a series win against Houston, right? So you have to be able to put yourself in the best position right now to, you know, get through these next couple series, because after that, starting June 16th, Angels, yeah. Athletics, Orioles, Angels, Athletics, like that run right there in the second half of June, you've got to make hay on that.
That series against Houston also going to be at Minute Maid. From the 206, how do you dig out of a hole? You mean crawl out? Look, first of all, none of your business. Secondly, you didn't hear anything. And thirdly, I mean, like, if you had a tiny shovel and you were digging it into the side of the hole to kind of, like, you know, spike your way out of it.
Correct.
It makes sense if you think about it a little more abstractly.
Or
you use your third eye.
Take and you dig from the side
that's
and
exactly
you take
right.
that
you
excess
tunnel,
dirt.
Dig a tunnel out.
Take the excess dirt in the original hole
then
just put that dirt there so you can climb out of
and
it.
And if you listen carefully, you would realize that that's what I was saying.
I mean, come on now.
When I said the Mariners need to dig themselves out of a hole.
Stay with us, please. Like, I feel like we're on another
Hello.
Level. We're one step ahead of
that's
you.
That's exactly right.
Come on.
Now,
how does this always happen?
God, people just can't keep up.
Happens to me.
Now, obviously, looking ahead to this series, the one thing that needs to happen, if you were to choose one thing that needs to change course, it's got to be the bullpen. They're going to hopefully be able to get healthier. Swanson on a rehab assignment. We'll see what happens with Giles. They don't have those guys right now, so you've got to just make do with what you have. So let's hope they get the good version of Castillo. And you know, you get, obviously, Paul Sewald out there, who has been solid for you, has been your best reliever.
Yes.
That just hopefully what you end up getting is, for instance, like, not the worst version of Romo, which, by the way, of course, like, his worst outing ever happens with your club. What are the odds of that?
Yes.
I love Sergio Romo.
I do, too. I will always ride or die with Sergio Romo. Yeah. I you can't get me to say an ill thing about
it. Look, I didn't see that inning. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
But what I would say is, you know, Stacey, to combat that, though, you know, to not have to put your bullpen in a position where they have to consistently go out and win games, what can you do? Yeah, you may point to your lineup, but how about your starting pitching? Having your starting pitching be able to go into games, deep into games, and do that on a consistent basis will help tremendously and ease a lot of that burden off of the bullpen and having to use a lot of it. So, I mean, just yesterday, right, Mike Blowers was talking about the fact that you hadn't had to see – you know, Andres Munoz in the last couple of nights because of the fact that starting pitching has gone so deep into games, you just haven't really had to tap into the bullpen very much. So, you know, you hope that you can really see solid outings
from Gonzalez and Kirby.
Exactly. Yeah. And really be able to build upon what they've done. And if your starting pitching can really be nails for you this month in June, I do think you're going to see really positive results.
All right. We are wrapping up our Friday and our week with what I need to know. I like bouncing back and forth between this or that, what I need to know. I might throw a couple other wild cards in here. But for today, it's what I need to know. So get your questions in. Any question you have, 206-421-3776. It's coming your way next.
Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating and Electric. Get your questions into the Mac and Jacks text line, 206-421-3776. What I Need to Know, Jake. Who is the, I love this question, by the way.
Okay.
Who is the least athletic pro football player you have ever played with? I'll say or worked around, because it could be someone where it's like maybe you met a bit later when you were a trainer.
How about
I want to expand
how about,
the pool?
Bachelor Clay Clayton.
Oh, the actual guy who was on The Bachelor,
yeah.
Clayton. Oh God, what was his name? Clayton something. He was a tight end, right?
Yes, I forget his last name. Is it
Eckler? Clayton Eckert.
Eckert, yeah, yeah.
Eckert.
I'll submit his name into the bucket.
The least athletic guy. He looks strong. Like, he looks like an actor playing a tight end.
Very, very strong. Yeah. And actually could run fast. However, was not very mobile. Like, there are certain athletes, like, you know, Luke Wilson was the best version of this. But there's certain guys where they, in order to turn, they have to turn their entire body. Like,
yes.
Their head and their neck is attached, right?
Correct.
And Luke was, he was the best. Like, he knew how to use his body and everything else. Like there's certain guys where it's just like everything's just so stiff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And was not conducive to, you know, catching passes over the middle of the field, because you got to throw those out on time. You got to get your head and snap your head around, get the hands there. Yeah, it just did not work out very well.
What I need to know, over the history of the show, have there been more Jake-isms or more bad food takes from Stacy? Okay. I think there's been more Jake-isms.
No, I mean, you throw out bad food takes.
I don't, though.
All the time.
I have one food take that I will acknowledge is not that popular, which is baked beans on hot dogs.
Yeah, but that's just like, you're not even scratching the
My
surface,
My other food takes,
Stacy,
have been, I think,
you have
relatively
so many
benign.
No,
cake
they're
is
not
overrated
benign.
And dry. Spaghetti is not the best pasta. It's not even a top 10 pasta.
That's ridiculous. That is absolutely
all
absurd.
Of these are like, again, they're pretty, pie isn't that great. Fruit pie is like not that great. Apple pie is kind of gross.
Oh,
all of these are pretty fair.
No,
what
fair.
I need to know, speaking of food, what I need to know from another listener, if you could eat one food as much and as often as you wanted with no caloric consequences, what would you choose?
No caloric consequences.
Pizza. If I could eat pizza every single day and and it be calorie free, I would do it.
Pizza's a good one. For me, oh man, that's tough, because pizza would absolutely be a good one. I'd say candy. Candy in general. I love candy.
So I'll allow any candy.
Like all versions, like chocolate bars, you know, Sour Patch Kids, like any, like all versions of candy. If it had no repercussions, man, I all day. All day I would have something with me.
From the 360, spaghetti is pedestrian. Yes, 360, I agree with you.
What I need to know is
Curtis Rogers going to get in trouble for skipping class today? Ooh.
I mean, we'll have to find out.
He's helping the family with something today.
He's being a good dad.
He's being a good dad today. I guess your family can be more important than us, but I'm not happy about it. What I need to know, Wilmina Kimes. She's throwing out the first pitch on June 10th. Wilmina Kimes put one across the plate when she throws out the first pitch for the Mariners June 10th. Sidebar, will she bring Lenny?
I mean, traveling with Lenny like that, I don't know. I'm skeptical. I'm very skeptical. So I'm going to say no to Lenny, and I'm also going to say no to Mina throwing a strike from the plate for a strike. I love her, and, you know, rooting for her, but it's hard to do. Low key, it's hard to do.
What I need to know. Okay, so we did Hype Train yesterday. So this one I saved on here from yesterday. What I need to know, Jake, Stacey, and Curtis. Curtis not here. If you were to ride the Hype Train, where would you want the final destination to be? That's fun.
The final destination
of
the Hype Train?
Let's just say you could go anywhere that a train could go to. Your ideal final destination. You go to California, sunny place, San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego would be pretty awesome. I mean, look, San Diego is beautiful. You can't take a train to Hawaii. That's physically impossible. So that would be the destination that I would personally love.
That would be your ideal spot.
That would be my ideal spot. But since I can't go there, Arizona, it's just, it's a complete desert. Okay. So I'm going to pick, yeah, I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with San Diego. Go with San Diego. What about you?
I would like to go to a sunny place. Someone asked me this the other day. They were like, where in the U.S. would you go to? I want to go to New York just to see New York. And everyone I know who's been to New York is like, you think you're not going to like it, but you go there and it's awesome. It's expensive, but really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's a lot of money to spend on a trip, man.
It is. It is.
But it would be cool to go.
Yeah.
Well, I do. I am one of those people. I do want to go to New York, and I do want to see it, and I do. I've never been.
You've never been to New York?
I've never been to New York. I've never been to Hawaii.
It's pretty cool. New York is pretty cool. It's something that you have to experience. I lived there for 6 months. I feel like I'm good. I'm set. I don't need to go back to New York. But, it is really cool. It's a crazy experience.
I would say one of the coolest places I've been to, New Orleans.
New Orleans is
New
pretty
Orleans
cool.
New Orleans is amazing.
Yeah, New Orleans is really cool. It'll surprise you.
All right, what I need to know, why is Jeremy Pena ahead of Julio Rodriguez in the Rookie of the Year race? Is it just the winning record Houston has?
Who has him ahead?
Maybe they're looking at odds makers right now.
Oh, well, I think that's going to change very quickly. I really do. Jeremy Pena got off to a scorching hot start.
He has been great for them.
He has been great. He has been great. But it was kind of like reverse in terms of how this has gone.
Like
Pena, like right from the get-go, absolutely incredible right from the jump, has cooled off a little bit. Julio had a rough start and has been on a tear ever since. So I would say that Julio is definitely, I know we're biased, but I think that Julio is going to walk away with this thing.
Oh, this person said obvious hype train is to a Mariners World Series win. Oh, if we're going theoretical.
Oh, theoretical hype train?
1,000%. Theoretical hype train, World Series win for the Mariners? Yes. I would lose my mind.
One day.
For a lot of people, it would be a very emotional moment, too, because
there's no doubt it would be emotional, Stacey.
We were
being emotional last year when they were in a couple games away from getting the playoffs. Would we be emotional?
Well,
heck yeah, we
that
would.
In 20 years of a drought, you have people that are family members or friends who love the team and have passed or whatever. Like, I think of my uncle, who was a huge Mariners fan and passed a couple years ago. And you just think of, like, what that would mean for them. I know that there are people listening that can immediately think of family members or friends.
No doubt.
Can I just say we're going to end what I need to know with me telling you guys something that you could know is earlier, Jake and I made a bet, a donut bet, because I have a problem about a Grand Slam tonight. If there's
Thank
a Grand
you for
Slam,
admitting
I
it.
Win donuts. And if there's not a Grand Slam, I will bring in donuts for Jake. But a listener, Adam, texted in and challenged us to another kind of fun bet, putting betting to good use here. So I wanted to open it up to you guys if you want. So John Clayton, the Multiple Sclerosis MS Society Fund, is something that we connected to the John Clayton Memorial Fund because it was a cause he cared deeply about. So Adam has challenged us. He says, using for anyone else who wants to join, he's joining in the Grand Slam thing. $200 for a Grand Slam and a win donated. $100 for just a Grand Slam, even if there's a loss. And $50 for a win. So Jake and I are going to go ahead and match that. We'll see what happens tonight.
We will match it.
A
absolutely.
A fun game to participate in if you guys want. So we retweeted that information and also a link where you could donate to the MS Society in John's honor should you want to. All right. Well, that will do it for us. Happy Friday. Everyone have a safe and fun weekend. For Jake Heaps, I'm Stacey Ross. Matt Nelson on the board. Thank you for helping out today, Matt. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.